Father, we thank you that we can praise you, for you are worthy of our praise.
Hallelujah.
We can't think of anyone else besides you and your blessed Son Jesus that are more worthy of our praise tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 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 Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise
the Lord.
We speak it with joy and thanksgiving.
Hallelujah.
That mighty name of Jesus.
Glory Hallelujah. Jesus.
For it's Hallelujah. A name that's above every other Hallelujah. Name. Above every name in heaven Hallelujah. And in the earth. And those that are underneath the earth.
Hallelujah.
That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow to the glory of God the Father.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise your blessed name, Jesus. Praise your blessed name. Lord, for what you have already done in the service and for the way that you've manifested your presence, surely, Lord, there cannot be a single person here in the auditorium that does not know that they're seated right now in the presence of the Almighty God. Surely there cannot be a person in the congregation tonight that does not realize that you are here in all of your glory, in all of your might, in all of your power, in all of your praise. You said, our Father, that in the presence of the Lord was the fullness of joy. And surely we have the fullness of joy tonight. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this taste of the glory. Hallelujah. For this taste of heaven. Lord, as we were singing the song earlier and we said that we're going to be with our Lord one day.
Hallelujah.
Today's the day.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We're with you today. Praise the Lord. Because you've made yourself accessible to us. You've made yourself real to us. And truly, it's just as Jesus said in the Word, that he that loves you, you will manifest yourself or make yourself real unto them. Father, every person who's here tonight who loves you and earnestly seeks after you, we know that you will make yourself real to them in whichever way they need tonight. We praise you and thank you for that, Father.
Hallelujah. In
the blessed name of Jesus.
Glory be to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And now, don't get bored. Go on home now. There's going to do something else.
Figure out what it is. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Turn to the fifth chapter of the book of James, please. James chapter 5. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. Glory to God. This is good. Are y'all getting some of that?
Hallelujah.
Huh? How many of you are getting a taste of that out there?
Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord. Bless God. Hallelujah. He is all over this place tonight. There's not a single row that he's not touching. You know, it's almost like, you know, when you have a night like this, you can almost sense the presence of the Spirit of the Lord just going up and down the rows, just like he's wandering among the candlesticks, and just reaching out and touching this my child and this my child, and take this from me and just receive this blessing, child, because I love you and I died for you and I've provided everything that you need. And so whatever it is, you just take this from me, child, you see. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. There are many people that are here tonight that are going to receive something special from the Lord. I don't know who they are or what it is, but I want you to know that I know the man that does know. I know him, see? I know him. I know him. And he knows who you are, and he knows what he's going to do tonight. Now, we're going to share some of the Word of God. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you want to receive something from God tonight, you hear clearly His Word. And faith will rise up in you so that you'll be able to receive what it is that God all the while wants to give you. Now, don't you think for a minute that it's a secret what you want that God doesn't know about it. He knows what you want and need before you ever ask Him. But He says in the Word to ask that ye may receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For he that asketh receiveth. God wants you to ask. He wants you to expect. He wants you to believe. Because He knows what your need is. He is ready and well able to do it for you tonight. But it's important for you to do your part. We go to share the Word. As faith comes by hearing the Word. That it is by faith that the manifestation of the Spirit of God is in evidence. James chapter 5, beginning to read in the 16th. Well, let me just back up here and we'll do the 14th on down. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now listen carefully. The Bible doesn't stop there. The word and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Shall save the sick. Do you hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying? Shall save the sick.
Hallelujah.
Not maybe, sometimes, almost. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. Let me say to you, you know, I'm not by nature a shouter. I really am not. I really am not. Those of you who have known me for a while, you know I'm not really like that. But as sometimes I get a hold of this that's in the Word, and the Spirit of God just, He says, say it, and it just begins to roar out. I want you to know that that's not done for effect. That's why I share that with you. Because those of you who know me know that I never learned anywhere how to preach. And so if I ever do something that you think that's a good effect, you know, I've seen some good preachers really do that. And old Vic, he got some good training, you see. No. If it comes out that way, it's not because old Vic had some good training. It's because the Spirit of God is moving. I want you to know that. Because I wouldn't know how to preach a good sermon in accordance with what the seminary teaches if I had to. Now, I don't say that proudly. I don't mean it that way. I just want you to understand what it is that you're hearing. I want you to participate in what's going on.
Hallelujah.
It's the Spirit of God, you see, that comes like that and causes the volume. And I could stop it, but I sure wouldn't want to. That causes the volume in my voice to go up when it goes up like that. And you just need to just reach out and just grab a hold of that real quick before it goes by you. All right? And the prayer of faith, there it is again, shall save the sick. You know, there's one good thing about God in His Word. He does not shilly-shally around. There is nothing wishy-washy about your Heavenly Father. There's nothing wishy-washy about Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. There is nothing wishy-washy about the Word of God. If it says shall, it means shall, and shall means will. That's the way it goes. The prayer of faith, when it is prayed, will save the sick.
Amen.
It'll do it.
Hallelujah.
It'll do it. That's the way the power of God is activated in the earth. By the prayer of faith. God's power is available in the earth. Do you know why it operated in the days of Jesus like never before? Is it because that's the first time His power was on the earth? No. It's because Jesus activated it by the prayer of faith. When Jesus prayed, every time he prayed the prayer of faith, and the power of God was brought into being, you see, on the earth. God has all power. He's got it all. I don't care what anybody else thinks they have. God has got all power. And the way that it comes into being in the earth is by the prayers of those who believe Him here on the earth. You can literally draw the power of God from heaven to the earth by your praying. That's what the Bible says. Now, you see, it's not the prayer, it's not the words that causes the sick to be raised up. It's the power of God that causes the sick to be saved. And it's the prayer of faith that causes the power of God to come into manifestation. Can you see that? Can you see how it works? Lest any man ever be lifted up. It's the power of God, you see, that is the agent to get these things accomplished. All right, let's read on. And the prayer of faith shall, remember what it says now, shall save the sick. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I want to read that verse out of the Amplified. The last part of it. Listen to this. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Whose power? God's power. Where is it made available? In the earth, where it's needed, you see. It doesn't need to be made available in heaven. There's plenty there. It needs to be made available on the earth. And the way the tremendous power of God is made available in the earth is how? By the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. And James says it's dynamic in its working. It availeth much. It's dynamic. It's dynamite. Believing prayer is dynamite. There's power in it. It works. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now there are those who would say, well, but I'm not a righteous man. There's been a lot of sin in my life. How many of you are born again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and know for sure that you belong to Him? Now put your hands up high. Now some of you, if you know, I want to see them up here. Where you know you belong to Jesus. All right? Okay, that's fine. Every one of you that had your hands raised are righteous men. Even those of you who are women are righteous men in accordance with the Word of God. You are a righteous man. Righteousness is a state that you come into when you're born again. When you are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ, you receive the gift of righteousness. Turn to Romans, the third chapter. I'm sorry, the fifth chapter. Romans chapter 5. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. You can't earn your righteousness. You'll never be any more righteous than you are right now if you're born again. The minute you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have the righteousness of God. It is given unto you by faith. We could share many other scriptures to demonstrate that, but I think most of you can see that out of that one scripture. You're justified by faith in His blood and made righteous. You have right standing before God. You are as righteous as Jesus Christ. And you have every right, you see, to have your prayers answered the same as He did. And when it comes to praying and believing God, you have the same rights that Jesus had. All right, now let's go back here to James. There's something interesting about this passage. In verse 16, let me just read it again. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, if we can find, we already know what a righteous man is. That's a man that's in Christ Jesus and has received the gift of righteousness. But if we could understand what the effectual fervent prayer is, then we would know how to have tremendous power available. Is that not right? We need to understand what an effectual fervent prayer is. All right, James goes on to tell us about such a man who knew how to pray the effectual, fervent prayer. Verse 17, Elias, which is Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. Now, I'm sure you can understand there that James is saying that Elijah was a man that had a nature just like yours. He was a human being subject to like human passions just like you. He was not a superman. He was a flesh and blood man just like you. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now we read this story about Elijah, and about the wonderful miracle that Elijah wrought by the power of God. That as he prayed, there was no rain on the earth. He shut the heaven for 3.5 years. And at the end of 3.5 years, he prayed again, and it began to rain. Now, if we knew something about those prayers, we'd know something about the effectual, fervent prayer, wouldn't we? If we knew how Elijah prayed, then we'd understand the effectual, fervent prayer, wouldn't we? Does that make sense to you? All right, let's see if we can't find out something about it. Let's go back to the 17th chapter of 1 Kings. That's in the Old Testament. The first book of Kings, chapter 17. Okay. 1 Kings, chapter 18. Elijah's just come down off of, he's not come down off Mount Carmel, he's on Mount Carmel. He has just had his showdown with the prophets of Baal. God has just sent fire out of heaven and burned the sacrifice. Elijah is riding high. But I want you to see about Elijah's prayer for rain. In the first verse of chapter 18, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. The first thing that Elijah did was get God's word on the situation. The very first thing he did was hear from heaven about the rain. God said to him, the word of the Lord came to him, I will send rain upon the earth. He now had the word of God. I'm going to send rain. All right, now turn over to the 41st verse. This is now after the fire trial on Carmel. And Elijah said unto Ahab, and Ahab was the king, the husband of Jezebel, the wicked king. Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and he put his face between his knees. And said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked, and he said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again 7 times. It came to pass at the 7th time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. He said, Go up and say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. Do you see what's happened here? Do you see it? Do you see it? Do you see about the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man? How many of you think you see it? A few of you? All right, that's good. First of all, Elijah got God's word. The second thing he did was speak it into existence. By the words of his mouth, he spoke it into existence when he said to the king Ahab, Get thee up and eat and drink, for there's a sound of the abundance of rain. Now, there wasn't any rain within miles. But Elijah heard the sound of rain in his spirit. He knew because he had God's word that rain was coming. Just as you must know if you're in need of, let's say, healing tonight, You must have the Word of God that healing belongs to you and know in your spirit that you're going to have it. Get God's Word and then speak it out of your spirit in the absence of any evidence. You can speak God's Word in truth, you see, without evidence. You don't need evidence to speak the Word of God. If God's Word says you're a righteous man, you confess your righteousness, whether you feel righteous or not. If the Word of God says that you're a prosperous servant, then you confess your prosperity, whether you've got it or not. If God's Word says that you're healed, then you confess your healing, whether you've got it or not. Because God is not lying unto you. His Word's true. All right, Elijah got God's Word. Then he spoke it into existence. And now Elijah goes to the top of Mount Carmel and he falls on his knees. And he puts his head between his knees and he begins to pray. And as he's praying, he says to his servant, he said, go on up on the top of the hill there and look and tell me what you see. Now, why do you suppose he did that? Because Elijah was expecting to have his prayer answered. Elijah knew what the man was going to see. Didn't God say there was going to be rain? Didn't Elijah, the righteous man, speak it into existence and say, Ahab, get thee up, you better eat and drink now. There's going to be rain coming soon. I can hear it. He sent his servant to the top of the mountain and he says, look, just come back, tell me what you see. He expected rain. Exactly what he'd asked the Lord for. But it's very interesting. The servant came back and said to him, there is nothing. There's no seed in your womb, Sharon. There's no money in your bank account. There's no healing in your body. There's nothing. He said, there's no rain. I don't see anything. Elijah said, well, I guess we missed the Lord on this one. Let's just go on down and we'll go back up to Jezreel and we'll just take our lumps. People laugh at us, but that's all right. We just missed the Lord on that. No. Because Elijah was a righteous man. He prayed effectually and fervently. He continued to pray. He sent the man back up on top of the hill again. And he said, go on back up again and tell me what you see. And the man came back and said, there's nothing. Elijah kept praying. And he sent the man back up on the hill the third time. And he says, tell me what you see. And he came back and he said, there isn't anything. This is the third time. There's nothing. Elijah kept praying. He said, now go on back up there on the top of the hill and look out across the sea and tell me what you see. And he came back and he said, there's nothing. And Elijah kept praying. And he said to the servant, now, the guy's got to be a little uneasy about this time. He said, I want you to go up there again and look out across the sea and tell me what you see. And he did, and he came back and he said, there's nothing. I don't see anything. And Elijah kept on praying. Yes, praise the Lord is right. And he sent the man back up there again the fifth time, and then the sixth time. And the seventh time. You know, I don't know how many times I've read this passage of Scripture. And I read right over that 43rd verse. And I thought that when the servant came back the first time, Elijah said, well, I want you to go up and back seven times. That'd be dumb, wouldn't it? That's what Elijah said, go up and back seven times. He said, go up. Bring me a report back. The report was there was nothing. Six times. But on the seventh time, verse 44, and it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. Elijah said, yes, I knew my heavenly Father. Yeah, I knew he was going to do it because I prayed and asked him to do so, and I had his word on it, and I had spoken it, and I believe it to come into existence. I believe if Elijah had to send his servant up on top of that hill 100 times, that he would have done so until a cloud formed. And Elijah said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. It still hadn't rained yet. All he saw was a cloud the size of a man's hand over the sea. But he said, tell the king he better get going or the rain's going to catch him before he gets back to Jezreel. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, now what can we say about the effectual fervent prayer? The effectual fervent prayer does not give up until it is answered. The effectual fervent prayer expects to receive what God has promised. Now, you cannot pray the effectual fervent prayer on something which God has not promised. But when you have the Word of God on your need, then you pray the effectual fervent prayer and your need will be met. You get God's Word. Find out what His desire is and what His will is. What is it that He's doing? Then you speak boldly and confidently the Word of God. Then you go before your Father expecting to receive from Him. And you diligently seek Him until you get it. The effect, you know, I was praying this afternoon. I was asking the Lord, Lord, what can I say in just a few words? And you know me, that's difficult for me to say anything in a few words except my name. I can do that. But how can I say in just a few words what the effectual fervent prayer is? And he said, just say the effectual fervent prayer is an expectant prayer. It's an expectant prayer. It's a prayer that expects an answer. That's the prayer of faith. And that's the one that's effectual. That's the one that Jesus prayed. He prayed it all the time. He always got results. Now someone would say, yes, but Jesus always got it on the first shot. Did he? Did Jesus always get it on the first shot? Turn to the book of John. Or the book of Mark, I'm sorry. The 8th chapter of the book of Mark. I think so many times we don't receive from the Lord because we give up on Him when we ought not to. Verse 22, Mark 8, verse 22. And he, that is Jesus, cometh to Bethsaida. They bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and he led him out of the town. When he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw aught. He laid hands on him. And he said, do you see? And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. I see forms. I see, look like men, but they're like trees. They're just forms. I can't make them out. I can't distinguish them. After that, he, that is Jesus, put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. Even Jesus prayed the second time. Even Jesus, you see, had to go the second time to get that prayer answered. But Jesus prayed the prayer that expected to receive from God. That's why every time he went before the Father, the tremendous power of God was working in his life. Dynamite. The power of God. Activated by the prayer of faith, by the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Now, there are many in the congregation tonight that are exactly in the same position that Elijah was in and that Jesus was in. Actually, better than Elijah. If you have the indwelling Holy Spirit in you, you've got much more than Elijah had going for him. You've got the helper. See, Elijah didn't even have the helper. But he was able to shut the heavens for 3.5 years and open them back up again after 3.5 years. If he could do that, do you think that the Church of Jesus Christ, with the indwelling Spirit of God, with the Scriptures that we have already given unto us, could get a few people healed? Yeah? Is that not right? If Elijah, one man, could shut the heavens, you see, and turn them loose, and if you want to have some fun, just read the 17th chapter of the book of 1 Kings about some of the other things which Elijah did. And then the rest of the 18th chapter, which we didn't read tonight. If he could do that without the Holy Spirit, without the name of Jesus, working against a demon force that was not rendered powerless yet, can the church of the Lord Jesus Christ do any less than that? Isn't that right? Isn't it right? We got to get this here. Not here, here. Down in here, that this belongs to us. Now let me share something with you out of the scripture. We're going to pray for the sick tonight. God's presence is here, we know that. Hallelujah. 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 The presence of God is here tonight. And where God's presence is God's power. And it's available to whomsoever we just receive it. I believe there are a number here tonight that need ministry. Let's be sure you know what belongs to you. Turn to the 8th chapter of the book of Matthew, please. I expect to see our God do mighty things here tonight among us. I expect that from God because His Word promises it. His Word promises it. Therefore, I expect it. There are enough righteous men in here. Remember, I said you women, now that were born again, you were also righteous men. All right? There are enough righteous men here to chase all hell back to where it belongs. And chase off everything else that does not glorify Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we know now how to pray the effectual fervent prayer, don't we? Did we not see that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much? What do you think the effectual fervent prayer of 100 righteous men would avail? A little less than that? Huh? Lots more than that. Is that not right? So don't we have a right to expect to see God do something tremendous tonight? Huh? Is that not right? Praise God. Praise the Lord. And we're going to come before Him expecting tonight. Expecting, because we know more about His ways, don't we? If we pray the effectual fervent prayer, God's power will be manifest in our midst. And it is what kind in His working? Dynamic. Dynamite. Dynamite. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, let's get God's word on this. Matthew, the 8th chapter, the 16th and the 17th verse. When the even was come, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils. And He cast out the spirits with His word. How did Jesus cast out the devils? Did He have some special power? His word. His word. His word. His word. It was by His word. This same word right here. That's how it was done. Verse 16 continued, and healed a few of those that were sick. Did your Bible say that? All it says, doesn't it? That's good, isn't it? That's good. That tells us something about God, doesn't it? Jesus healed all. See, that tells me how many of you are really listening. He healed all that were sick. He didn't leave anybody out. He didn't leave anybody sitting over in a corner, you see, unhealed. He healed all of them. Everyone. Everyone that came, He healed.
His power and His grace is available to all, whosoever will. You know that His salvation is available to everyone that will. Is that not right? If you want to be saved from your sin, you can have it. It's available whomsoever will. Healing is also available to whomsoever will. All of God's benefits are available to all. 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 And I want you to know tonight that if you are here tonight with a need from God and you are not willing to receive it from the Lord, it's not that He doesn't want to give it to you, because He does. He wants you to have the fullness of your health. The fullness of your health. Jesus said, whatsoever ye ask the Father. Get this now, church. Whatsoever, oh hallelujah. Oh glory to God, what a promise this is. What a beautiful promise this is. How much love our Father has. I'll tell you more than I can express. I just pray His Spirit would just express it to all of you, just as we're talking here. Jesus said, whatsoever things you shall ask of the Father in, oh, hallelujah, in My name, He will give it you. He will give it you. He'll not sell it to you. He'll not trade it to you. Praise be unto God, He will give it to you. Whatsoever ye ask the Father in My name, He will give it you. And now, praise the Lord. Let me read the rest of it. Hitherto, ye have asked nothing in My name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. Now, how is your joy full? When you ask God for something and go away disappointed? Does that give you the fullness of His joy? No. Your joy is full when you receive your request. Ask and ye shall receive, He said, that your joy may be full. Matthew 8. Still. He healed all that were sick, every one, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Esaias, that's Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Let me read it again. Himself, that is Jesus Christ, took our infirmities and bare our diseases. He took them. God laid your sickness, your disease, your pain, your infirmity on Jesus Christ of Nazareth in the self-same way that He laid your sin on Him. And if you have received forgiveness of your sins through faith in Jesus Christ, you may also receive freedom from infirmity and sickness and pain bondage in the self same way, by faith in Him. By faith in Him. Now those are strong words, but they're God's words. They're God's words. And if I say them to you, or another man ever say them to you, don't you accept them. But if Jesus Christ, God Almighty's Son, says them to you, you better accept them. They're the Word of God, and the power of God is in His Word. Himself, Jesus Christ, took your infirmity. He took your headache. He took your sick stomach. He took your twisted muscle. He took your bad heart. He took your intestinal disorder. He took your nervousness. He took your disease. He took your cancer. He took it all. Why did he take it? Why did he take it? Did he take it so that his church would have to go down through the ages and bear it again? No! No! 1,000 times no! And if the devil has put that upon you, he has given you something that doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the devil. Jesus Christ took all those things. They don't belong to you anymore. Do you understand that? They're not part of the package that you get when you get Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ comes into your life, he is able to deliver you, body, soul, and spirit, out of the kingdom of darkness and out of that authority into the kingdom of Jesus himself. And I want you to know that there is no pain in the kingdom of God. There is no sickness in the kingdom of God. There is no infirmity in the kingdom of God. There is nothing there that hurts or destroys in all of the holy mountain of God. It doesn't belong to God's children. It doesn't belong to the church. What belongs to the church is deliverance and freedom and power and health. That's our right. That's our heritage. What kind of a savior would he be if he couldn't take care of us something in the body? For goodness sakes, a doctor can give healing in the arm, can't he? What kind of a savior would Jesus of Nazareth be if he could not help us in our bodies? I don't know about you, but I don't want a savior that's only saved part of me. I want one that cares about all of me. I want one that is able to deliver me from whatever bondage the enemy has brought against me. And because of my ignorance, it may very well be that I've come under bondage. But I want a Savior that is able to set me free. And praise God Almighty, I've got one. His name is Jesus of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's the deliverer. He's the one that sets free. That's what glorifies him, is when his people are freed. Praise the Lord. Bow your head, please. Close your eyes. Father, we thank you that you did send us a Savior that was well able to save us to the uttermost, spirit, soul, and body. That he is able to deliver us from the power and the penalty of sin. That he is able to deliver us from every soulish bondage, from every mind-destroying thing, from every hindrance. That he's able to set us free from every kind of physical infirmity. You said in the word that Jesus Christ was the same yesterday, today, and forever. If Jesus Christ was able that day to cause a man's withered arm to be restored whole, that means that he's able to do it today through his body. If he was able to set a woman free who was doubled over with a crippling disease, bound by Satan in her body for 18 years, if he was able to cause her to be loosed, so much more shall his body today do the same in his name. For he's the same today that he was that Sabbath day in the temple. And if he was able to heal all that were sick that came unto him, he is well able today to heal all who are sick and who will come unto him through his body. if he was able to cast out every devil by his word, then he is well able today through his body to cast out every devil.